Prepare to be blown away by Ben and Ralph. Darmalage begins in T-minus 4, 8, 15, 60, 23, 42.
Welcome back.
Is that the opening of the show? Is that what it said?
It said 3 years later a lot, which is funny because I don't remember if they ever gave us a when things were happening note.
They do in Michael's flashback when he was prancing around the island.
And in the other another 48 days.
Yeah, they do it every once in a while.
But it was pretty prevalent last night. There was two episodes.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like a two-part opener.
One ended at like 8:53.
Yeah, and the other one ended at like 11:05.
That's weird.
It's the Darmalars.
Yes, it is.
Welcome back to the Darmalars. I'm Ben.
I'm Ralph, and we're talking Lost already.
We're talking Lost again. I mean, it feels like we barely stopped.
Yeah.
It's funny, like, I know it's a long break in between.
We were talking about Lost two shows ago.
That's right. That's true.
So,
it's a long break in between, but I don't really feel it that long because I just put it out of my mind. You can't think about it.
Yeah.
You can't think about Lost every day for 11 months.
Yeah, there's like the 3 days before these episodes came back where I started like going crazy. Even when I was watching the commentaries on the Blu-ray, like I didn't care about theories. I didn't overthink things. Like when I saw something happen, I thought, oh, that's interesting.
You didn't try to catalog it all. You weren't.
It was mostly I didn't notice this the first time and how it pertains to later episodes,
but not actively thinking like.
I wonder what's gonna that means in the future for the show.
You were just enjoying it more fully.
Yeah. So
in its own time.
It's. I mean, other than a couple of things Carlton said, it really didn't.
It really didn't register that way for you.
No, it wasn't like I wonder what's gonna happen next.
How many commentaries were on this season?
It seemed like there was one per disc, and there was, I think, four discs, and like a couple had two. There's probably like six.
That sounds like a good amount, because it feels like on other seasons there's been like four.
Yeah.
Maximum.
Yeah.
Not one for every episode like you get on some TV shows.
And one of the commentaries was the two-hour finale, or the 3 hours, I think, the full 3 hours.
Yeah, that was another weird one. The way it was split up, it was like a two-parter, but one of the parts was 2 hours. The way it kind of worked, it was like two episodes, but 3 hours.
Yeah,
and then last night was two episodes over 2 hours. It wasn't a two-part.
Yeah.
Opener. So I guess do we talk about them individually, or do we just talk about the night of Lost that we had?
I think we can talk about the night of Lost that we had.
Let's do that.
All right. You want to just talk about? I mean, we don't have to do a chapter. We might as well just talk
about Lost.
Welcome back
to the Darmalars to all of our old listeners. And if any new listeners found us, we talk about Lost. We swear. We don't recap the show. And we talk about other things about as often as we talk about Lost.
And we swear.
We might get off on a tangent for a while. So,
Dan.
Enjoy, if you can.
Enjoy.
I do.
Normally, this is where we talk about whatever happened during the week, and we throw it to a different chapter, but yeah, this is the same chapter.
I mean, what are we going to do? We could talk about what we've been doing for the past 9 months.
I'm not going to have a 3-minute chapter of us talking about Lost
of us
to go into the part where we're talking about Lost. Okay, let's get to Lost. What was the first episode called? Because you left.
Right.
And
so it's from the perspective of, I guess, Ben Linus.
Which, you know, it's the thing I noticed about both episodes.
Yes.
There wasn't flashbacks or flash forwards in the conventional sense.
No, there was not.
It's
not focused on one character, showing them in different time frames.
We're seeing the most recent events as far as the Oceanic Six go, and the most recent events as far as the Islanders go.
Exactly.
Oh, wow. This is going to be a problem.
There's a tiny predator running around Ralph's apartment, killing things. And it's his new little kitty cat, and he's worried that the cat's going to kill the podcast.
All right. She loves laptops, and she loves sleeping on the laptops, which is what we record this show on.
So we don't want her to put one paw on the Apple symbol and one paw on D or whatever might happen.
So if for some reason you don't hear this podcast on the internet, that's the reason why.
So if they're hearing this, but not on the internet, at least now they'll know why.
Yeah. So Stevie and the cat.
they'll have the reasons. She was just she wanted to drop in a guitar track. She thought we could use a little bit of some guitar loops.
Whoever created the Mac and the hotkeys.
Yes.
Must have designed it for a kitty, because she presses button combinations where I've later discovered, like, hey, how'd you do that, cat? And I looked to see where she's standing.
Oh, well, that was pretty interesting. I better look that up.
If you hold down, I believe it's the Apple or the control, and then do the double finger slide on the pad,
yes,
it zooms.
Oh, I did not know that.
Thank you, kitty, for stepping on my control or Apple button. Now I know that.
Just better than like a hints book.
Speaking of time paradoxes and weird things like you hearing our voices telling you that you're not getting this transmission.
Right. Right.
As I was saying, there's no conventional flashbacks.
Right.
I think it's funny that the events that take place with the Oceanic Six take place in 2007.
Yes.
Which means when Jack said, Kate, we need to go back at the airport, was actual time when
we saw that
episode aired.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So technically, this would be a flashback because it's not taking place in 2009, but it's the most
current, a period piece.
Yeah, it's the most current timeline.
Yes, and it's because like when they crashed, that was when the show aired, roughly. Yeah. Like they crashed on September 22nd, 2004.
And the one thing I did think about over the summer was, and I actually mentioned this on scottandsteve.blogspot.com, was that now with the Oceanic Six being away from the island, and that's the main storyline, I was like, are we even going to see the island and all? Because that's not the main focus.
Yeah, we speculated.
And we're like, they have to show the island because, you know, we see the characters like Sawyer and Juliet on the poster art.
Right. Yeah.
So it's like, what could possibly happen on the island that's in any way exciting or interesting?
Yeah, what could happen that's exciting? I don't know. A hail of fire arrows?
A hail of fire arrows, but more importantly, the skipping through time. Now, I only have one note.
Okay.
And I want to try to get this out of the way first because I think it's interesting. And
you have to word it properly, you said.
And I tried writing it down properly, but I'm going to try to explain it to you. Now, they're skipping through time.
Yes.
On the island.
They've become unstuck.
In time. Now, the island disappeared.
Right.
Meaning it's not in that location that we saw last season.
Correct.
If it's only moving through time, explain why it seemed to disappear before their eyes.
That's a very, very good question.
Okay, here's a possible solution.
Go for it. Bring it.
Now, let's say that you have a globe.
I do.
And on this globe, you hold, let's say, a little action figure of an island.
Okay.
They make action figures of that.
How many points of articulation?
You have a white stone that represents where the island is.
Okay, and you're just holding it up to the globe with your hands.
And the world rotates.
Right.
Now, let's say the world rotates 5 minutes.
Okay.
That stone would still be where you go as the world rotates.
Right, right.
But
so if you glue the stone to the globe and you rotate it the way it rotates, it's going to stay in the same place.
Yes.
If you hold the globe with the stone with your fingers and then rotate the globe and hold the stone like independently, it'll skip across the globe.
Here's the thing is, right now where we're sitting,
right,
in as far as the universe is concerned,
uh-huh,
we weren't sitting in this space 5 minutes ago.
I got you.
We were rotated. So
a couple of miles down the road. I got you.
So I think with every skip, the island goes to where it was in space.
Right.
On Earth at that time.
At that time.
So it could be, you know, 5 minutes in the past on whatever latitude.
It could be 5 minutes
longitude.
West or 5 minutes east, depending on what the rotation
does
is.
That, does that kind of make sense?
It makes sense. I don't know if it's coming down to that or if it's like some other, like it moved in a certain way and that's what causes the time slips mm-hmm. for them. Or if it's like just that all rolled up into one. But yeah, that totally makes sense.
Yeah.
I think you worded that very well.
Okay, cool.
It makes sense.
Now let's take that theory and put it to the test.
Okay.
Now, if the Earth is constantly rotating and this island isn't on the same time frame as the Earth and
right.
keeps popping in and out,
uh-huh.
ultimately what will happen is it may pop up in a time, like let's say on a continent.
Yeah, it could crash into Australia.
The Earth is two-thirds water.
Right.
So I'm thinking that maybe if it's going at the rate it's going, which seems like every couple hours it shifts times, that it's probably not going to be very long before the island shifts onto a continent.
Right.
And I would give myself a time frame of 72 hours.
How come?
Because that's the time frame that Ben Linus has to fix it.
Ah.
Because what happened was the island moved in time.
Right.
And obviously ended up somewhere where a Nigerian drug plane could reach.
Okay, okay. And so that's why it was there in the first place. It wasn't that it got, wow, that's cool. I didn't think
so the
that
island
way.
Popped up where the in the drug plane's
it,
flight
path.
Path.
Wow, okay. And now it's got the plane and it pops away, and so when our people find it. So at one point the island can move to the 1500s and pop up underneath the Black Rock.
Yes.
And that's like how that crashes, maybe even.
Yeah.
So his time, you think Linus's time frame is how long he has before, instead of just popping up in random places on the water where it doesn't do any damage, it pops up on a landmass and there's mm-hmm. an issue.
It may have even popped up somewhere near Africa, in which a polar bear, who we know swam from island B to the main island,
uh-huh.
could have also swam to Tunisia.
To Tunisia.
Or made its way to Tunisia.
Rather than going through the donkey gate.
Yeah.
The donkey wheel, or whatever that thing is called. That's, yeah.
But I'm thinking,
this show's awesome.
I'm thinking that's what's going on. And yeah. I think with the island skipping around, I think it's obvious that it's skipping around locations. Because, A, it wasn't at the location that we were watching at the end of season 4. And then they said that the Nigerian drug plane, there's no way that a plane that size would make it to Fiji or wherever the hell they're supposed to be.
Wherever it was when Flight 815 went down on it.
There's no way. So Flight 815 went down on it.
Haha. Dirty.
So I'm thinking that's what's going on. It's popping up in random spots on the Earth, and Ben Linus has 72 hours before it pops up
somewhere cataclysmic.
Somewhere bad. Because that lady had that pendulum thing.
And she was drawing maps, and she had all these different places.
Yeah.
She had like a globe, and she was putting all the little stars on it.
Mm-hmm. We may be getting ahead of ourselves here, but that lady at the very end of the second episode.
The time travel lady.
Yeah, the lady from Desmond's flashback.
I think she's Faraday's mom.
That's the first thing I thought when I saw her. I was like, oh, Desmond's coming to meet up with Faraday's mom.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it was that lady, and I'm like, well, why couldn't
why not?
That lady
yeah,
be?
Exactly.
Because she obviously... I'm trying to think about what if Desmond meets his mom, it's that lady, and they meet in front of the construction site.
Yeah, exactly.
Like...
There's
blah, blah.
Yeah, it's mind blowing. I mean, the thought of Desmond being able to communicate with Faraday in the past, because Faraday's whole thing is no, you can't change the past, you can't communicate, but Desmond can because he's been uprooted himself, and so like the whole thought that Desmond never really had to break up with Penny in the first place, he only had to do that because he traveled in time.
Yeah,
you know, and. He had to go and meet Faraday, to stop himself from bouncing around. But mm-hmm. by doing that, at that point, he's going to, when he sees Faraday from the hatch, that's why he recognizes him. He's like, oh, don't I know you from somewhere?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because I went to tell you. But what makes that crazy for me is I didn't get the impression that when Desmond went back in time, I didn't know that his consciousness from that time was still around. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Like, I thought the 80s, 90s?
Yeah,
the 1990s,
I think it was 96 or something.
Something like that. I thought he just went away. Mm-hmm. I thought he went away for a little bit or was like unconscious while our Desmond's mind was in that body, you know?
Yeah.
But it turns out he has the memories of that time too, so
yeah,
that's crazy. That's cool. That's a lot to think about. But yeah, I think that's Mama Faraday, because there was three times last night where they showed us the back of someone or they showed us the side of someone, and I was like, oh, that's Dr. Marvin Candle.
Yeah.
Or when I saw Faraday, I have to admit, at first I thought it was Jack because of that scroungy beard that Jack
had.
I
didn't know who it was, but Stevie got it right away.
Stevie picked that out?
Yeah.
And then it was Faraday. And then we saw the back of that lady, and I was like, that must be Faraday's mom.
Yeah.
Mama Faraday, as I've been calling her.
And then it may be.
It might still be. Like, I wouldn't have thought that if I hadn't already been looking for her to be in
that
scene.
But it would make so much sense, and it would be so awesome that Desmond's already communicated with her, and that whole thing kind of runs in the family.
Time travel.
Yeah, Faraday has, kind of an awkward, he's socially awkward.
Yes.
And maybe he just hung out with his mom too much and never really played with kids. He just hung out in her chamber of crazy.
I'd like to see more about Faraday. I know it seems like maybe we've gone away from like the one person flashbacks.
Uh-huh.
Like, we might not get to learn Faraday's backstory, because they said at one point that the storytelling was going to shift. It was going to be a different style of storytelling, a more conventional. And it feels like that's already happened. But I'd like to know more about Faraday's past.
Well, we're kind of learning stuff.
Yeah, here and there. Like, I liked when
your exposition too.
When what's his name? Miles. When Miles was like, I'm going to go get some food. And they were like, how? And I was like, he's just going to go walk around, talk to dead people, see if they have any hints for him, tell him where to get food. Well, he comes back with a boar. I mean, I don't know if he talked to a dead boar and asked him where his body was.
I have no idea.
And who are these people? Who are these army guys with their bow and arrows?
People are saying that the guy who says, this is our island, may be Widmore.
I think that. I can see that.
I think that one of those guys in the 40s, I'm assuming they look like World War II guys to me, but
they do kind of.
I think that one of them may have lost their knife and Anna Lucia may have picked it up in season 2, which leads me to believe, or which makes me excited, because a lot of people tend to shit on season 2. Like, oh, lost season 2, that's the worst season. But so much stuff, I've been watching season 2 again, so much stuff in these two episodes called back events from season 2.
Season 2 is
like
setting
Marvin Candle, Anna Lucia.
Right.
I'm saying that the World War II guys or the army guys left the knife.
The knife.
I was going to make a list, but I didn't make a list. There was like a ton of stuff, like Desmond in the hatch.
Right.
Poop. There's a ton of stuff.
Like, season 2 is important in the whole story, but it's also...
And what makes it cool is now they're taking weird things in season 2 and making a mean even more.
And you didn't even realize it was a setup at the time.
And then now I'm thinking that maybe season 6 is going to be maybe answering this stuff in season 3, which is all the stuff that happened right before we found the flash forwards.
Okay. And then, I mean,
season 1's the setup.
Right.
Season 2 happened, and that's being explained now.
And then season 3 happened.
Yeah.
And season 5 and 6 are just going to tie it all together. I mean, they said on the recap, but they're at the point now where instead of bringing up a question every time they give an answer, it's going to be more answers. It's going to be mostly answers from this point forward.
Yeah.
That's cool. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. Let's see. What else happened? My favorite joke in the show was what comes around goes around.
Right.
By Mr. Alpert. I thought that was very funny, as opposed to what goes around comes around.
Oh, he said it first.
He said it's a lock. He said what comes around goes around.
That's interesting.
And he smiled.
And yet that part was cool. And he was like, yo, I'm sorry, I don't have time to be all chummy with you, but I have to get some info in. Do you think Locke's dead?
I don't think so.
I don't think he's dead.
You mean, wait, on the island or or in the...
In the coffin. I don't think he's
coffin.
Dead in the coffin.
I think that maybe his body is dead.
Okay.
But if he's brought back to the island... It obviously needs him for something. So whatever that is, because Ben alluded to the fact that he wasn't dead, or didn't answer Jack's question. When someone asks you, "Hey, he's dead though," and they don't answer you back,
that might mean something.
That could be a no.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Because it's really easy to just say,
"Yeah,
yes.
He's dead. He's right there." No, yeah, I think it's got to be maybe part of a plan. So I think Locke's not dead. I think Jin's not dead.
I'm going to go ahead and say I know Jin's not dead.
Yeah, that's
thanks
probably.
To Mr. Carlton Cuse, who said in the commentary for season 4's finale, just talking about Sun. It's like Sun's going through a lot. You know, she just had the baby. She just got rescued from the island. She thinks her husband's dead.
Yeah.
She thinks this. And I'm like, thanks.
Yeah.
And then I was watching the hour kind of recap catch-up session, and Carlton once again says, this time he says, Sun believes her son is dead.
Yeah, exactly.
Or her husband's dead. And I'm like, you fucking a-hole. I said it in the season 4 finale podcast that, like, I don't think Jin's dead.
It's too up in the air. It would have been more obvious. When someone's dead, they tell you.
Like, yeah, and then Michael Giacchino tells you as well.
Yeah.
With his one-on-one Hall & Oates musical.
One-on-one for sure. And you know, he didn't say what's interesting about it is Cuse doesn't say she believes her husband's dead.
Yeah.
He's saying it like someone who knows the truth, who has to talk about someone who doesn't know the truth.
And maybe forgets that he's maybe keeping a secret.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's something about the way that was phrased. I think you nailed that one perfectly. I think Claire's dead.
I think Claire's dead, too.
I don't know what happened to her body, but I think Claire's dead.
I don't care either. Claire can whatever.
Ethan shot Locke.
That scene was awesome. All these, like, I'm like, how's Locke going to get out of this? Ethan's going to kill him.
He sees the
beach. That's what he said. Locke.
What comes around goes around.
Comes around goes around.
But Locke didn't kill Ethan. Charlie did. But Locke was there.
Yeah.
When the Beechcraft crashes and Locke looks up at it, I was like, well, what the fuck? He doesn't have anyone to send up in there this time. What's he going to do?
Yeah.
He had to climb up there his damn self. Probably good it did him. Just stay away from that grove of trees. It's not good for his legs.
No.
Because he got shot in his leg this time and the last time
I was wondering if that has something to do with his legs going out in season 1.
Wow. Like he was in an area that was bad for his legs because of what happens to his legs in that area in a different time zone.
Yeah.
Maybe. That's kind of cool. Like a minefield. Like the idea that if something bad happens in a house, that's why it's haunted.
Mm-hmm.
Like something bad happens in these different pockets of the island.
So I'm wondering if Locke's vision in season 1, where Teresa goes up the stairs, Teresa goes down the stairs, and he says, I saw a plane crash here, or I saw a plane crash. I wonder if, because that was a dream, I wonder if that dream's a recount of the time he was there.
Yeah, if you've physically been in the same place in two different time zones, I wonder if your own body or your own mental waves leave their own echoes and only you can tap into them.
There was a character named Echo.
His
brother was on the plane.
Oh, my God.
It all makes sense, everybody.
Well, we figured it out now.
Darmalars are done.
Stop the show. Stop. Not our show. Stop Lost.
Where's the cat? She'll stop it.
Shoot it that way.
No, she's just going to stop the show for us.
She's going to get Kat, come up here. Producer Vesper. I want to see more about Candle and Faraday.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I'm sure we're going to.
Well, I think Candle was there. I think Candle was there just for the fun of actually having a scene with him. Or Dr. Chang.
He's kind of a cock.
Dr. Chang, right?
Yeah, I think that sounds right. Yeah.
He's a doctor and he plays one on TV.
That's right. But he's kind of a prick. When he fucking comes in, he's like, all right, let's shoot this shit. I don't have all day. Settle down.
He's a busy dude.
Yeah, well, pardon the fuck out of me. I'm just the grip. I'm just the Dharma grip. I'm here to push the record button on the video camera.
Well.
And he walks in like all attitude. Just grab a Danish from Crash Services and settle the fuck down, Chang. All right. He's like fucking, he's like Bella from Ed Wood. Let's shoot this fucker. I can see Candle hopping into a swamp and attacking himself with a rubber octopus.
I think what it boils down to is doing the videos is not
what he wants to do. He's there to study the shit on the island, not fuck with people.
If you're on an island that has the kind of stuff that goes down, Do you feel like stopping and explaining it to it?
You
want to
wake up at 8 o'clock and film an orientation film for half a day with multiple takes before you can finally go and see what happens to the rabbit. I know, you're right.
I don't do a podcast about the comic book store I work at.
That's true. You'd rather get on to brass tacks.
Yeah.
He was doing the orientation video for the Arrow. That's kind of cool.
While wearing a swan.
Was it really?
Yeah, he was wearing the swan.
What a jerk. Never gets anything right.
We're going to have to fix that in post. 1976 post or whatever.
Yeah, by going in and painting each frame.
Yeah. So do you think that Daniel was there? Well, obviously he was there in 1970, whatever. But do you think his going into that is something that, like, through all of his skipping around on the island, let's say in the course of this season, that's the final thing he figures out to fix whatever's going on is to get to that point at the very beginning.
And talk to Candle, maybe?
Yeah.
I think.
Like, he obviously has the journal and he's trying to figure stuff out. He figured out when the hatch was and knew that Desmond was in there. So throughout the season, are we going to see him going to different times and then the season ending with him at the donkey wheel?
I think you're right. I think that'll be the end of this season. Yeah. We were teased at it for the beginning, but he won't get back there again. Or maybe he'll be there a couple of different times.
Uh-huh. Kind of like Groundhog's Day, where he figures it out little by little.
Yeah. And it's like Groundhog's Day, and it's also like Back to the Future 2, where they spend a lot of the movie visiting Back to the Future.
Uh-huh.
Like, he's going to spend a lot of the movie visiting Lost. Uh-huh. By the way, having Michelle Rodriguez back, that was cool.
Yeah.
I didn't expect that. Like, I don't keep an eye on casting.
As soon as he got pulled over, Hurley was getting pulled over, I was like, I'm like, how many cops do we know that are alive?
I thought it was going to be Bull.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be her partner.
Yeah. And then I was like, what if it's Anna Lucia? That doesn't make sense. Wait, Hurley sees dead people and talks to him. That scene was awesome.
You fully figured out. That scene was great.
And as soon as it showed the rearview mirror, I'm like, that's a female cop. There's no female
cops. There's
no
other female cop.
This is a lot of build up to whatever's going on.
Like, they would have shown us the cop before now.
Yeah.
If it wasn't someone that we're going to recognize. I didn't expect it. When the guest credits come on, I crane my head upward and try to watch the show from my bottom peripherals so I don't read.
I usually lean on my fist, but I'll bring my hand up and put my finger over the bridge of my nose.
I don't want to read the special guest stars for that night. I mean,
I did see out of my peripheral William Mapother.
Oh, did you? I was like,
he shows up a lot.
He does. He works a lot for a dead guy.
Another season 2 reference that showed up in a big way in this episode was one Mr. Neil Frogert and his red shirt.
Frogert.
Totally. That was awesome.
Yeah.
He was in one of those Lost Missing Pieces webisodes.
He was, yeah.
Which was cool. But I can see how, like, I was kind of text messaging my sister because she doesn't like watch the shows multiple times.
So she might be lost on a
couple
of points.
So I'm like, Neil Frogert was mentioned in the episode SOS in season 2.
You're like pop-up video.
I am. I see, she always tells me to come over and watch it on her huge TV, and I'm like, I can't. I need to watch it. I can't explain.
I can't sit there talking the whole time.
During commercial breaks, I can send her a text message. And
Mike goes and watches it with his parents for that very reason, so he can talk to them about it.
I can't do it. I want to watch it.
Well, that's the thing, is I wanted to just watch it last night, and then I was going to watch it today and do notes.
Yeah.
But number one Ultraviolet fan took care of that for me.
Thanks, Matt.
When Anna Lucia showed up, I right before she started saying things to Hurley, I was saying the same thing she told him. I was like, no, don't get pulled over by the cops. Change your clothes. Take that robe off.
Stevie said he's seen Echo, he's seen Charlie, he's seen Anna Lucia. It's like, poor guy can't even see Libby.
He can't. It probably wouldn't help him. But yeah, he can't catch a break.
But he would. You know what? It would have worked in the second episode of The Lie because he told his mom what happened. Like, I'm sure if he got to sit down with Libby and just get it all out of his system, he'd be okay.
Because Libby could tell him, no, you guys got to have to come back. Because everyone that's dead wants him to come back.
Yeah.
Anna Lucia wouldn't help him if she wanted him to get arrested, which I like that he threw himself into custody. I killed 3 people or 4 people, however many bodies there are, I did it. And I noticed that Saeed stacks his dishwasher the way a murderer truly would, with knives sticking out of it.
We when that dishwasher opened up,
Chekhov's gun right there.
There was two audible gasps in my house. One from me and one from Stevie. I'm pretty sure the cat did a double take.
That guy's going to die.
And I was like, during that commercial break, I sent my sister a text message. Always put your knives face down.
Always. Unless if you're a straight up murderer like Saeed.
They popped out and I was like.
So obvious what menace.
I've never, all of my wildest imaginations on how to kill people in movies.
It's never been with a dishwasher with
it's never been
device.
Knives facing up popping out like some kind of Rambo trap.
Like fucking.
What did you say? Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Stevie said that's why you always put the knives down.
So you don't land on them when someone shoots you in the neck with a dart.
That's right. Whoops.
God. Dart speaking of, you know what? That whole scene was freaking violent.
Yeah.
Saeed full-on shot a dude. And threw
another dude off a ledge?
Not only did he throw a guy off a ledge, it didn't look like your normal, even like the movie, a rated R movie like Commando, when a guy gets thrown off of a building, it's obviously a dummy.
Yeah.
That looked like what a dude would look like when he fell off a balcony, and there was blood everywhere.
Even when Hans Gruber falls off of the Nakatomi Plaza.
It looks stupid.
It looks stupid, and then when they land, you're like, oh, well, you're like disconnected from the violence. It's like a cloud, like fucking Wile E. Coyote. But
yeah.
When this guy fell, I was like, oh, that was like three stories. That's just enough to kill you.
And it's like 9:20 at night.
Yeah.
And there was something that happened in the second episode that I was like, that's gross. And it wasn't Sawyer's foot wound.
Although that was gross.
It was Locke pulling the knife out of that dead body. And it was all
oh, yeah, and it was covered in gore and slop.
So grody.
And then, yeah, Locke had to have his bullet taken out. There was a lot of blood last night.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Like, it was pretty cool.
I mean, I'm not complaining.
No, no.
I was just amazed that it's cool that they got that leeway. I guess ABC is like, all right, you guys can finish up your series.
Out however you want.
We're going to go to sleep and not watch anything that you're putting on our...
I like that it's back on Wednesdays.
Me too.
It's
you know why?
Convenient for us, but also it just feels right for Lost.
It does. Totally convenient for us. We will have our show up every Thursday night. So after you're done with must-see TV.
That's the perfect way to drift off.
It's to must-listen Darmalars.
To our mellifluous voices.
Yeah.
So The Lie was tacitly a Hurley episode.
That's another thing. We don't really have.
It's not really.
The title of the episode pertains to one character.
Exactly.
But. I mean,
but stuff happens for everyone. Everyone's story gets advanced.
Hurley with Saeed and Jack were all, and son, there's a son and Kate scene. They all pertain to.
There's son and Widmore.
Yeah.
He was all up on her case for talking to him in public.
Yeah.
Kind of a jerk.
Yeah.
And Ben is doing his best to get everyone together.
So Ben is hanging out with Jack and Jill. Jill the Butcher.
Jill. Is that her name?
Yeah.
Jack and Jill. And then John and James and Juliet are all hanging out together.
Yeah.
On the island. A lot of J names going on there. Mm-hmm. And then they rapidly lost all of the randos and Rose and Bernard on their trek to the hatch. Unless they decided to go alone.
They must have gone alone.
All of a sudden, it was just the principals.
Yeah.
Just the A-team.
Wow.
So are they going to end up at a time when they're running around the island? No, because it never happened. Like like Faraday was saying, things can only happen if they've already happened. So they're not going to bump into themselves because they would have already bumped into themselves.
Yeah.
They could be the Whispers.
I hope they could be the Whispers. I hope that, yeah, that'd be awesome. I'm hoping that we see, like, Henry Gale.
We could see Henry Gale. We could see young Ben Linus, Roger Workman.
Yeah.
We could see the ancient people building the four-toed statue.
Yes.
I wonder if there's a strain on the island or, like, if there's an outer limit of how far they can go in each direction.
Uh-huh.
So they can't show up and interact with anyone that we haven't seen them interact with. But Locke can go back in time and interact with Kate.
Yeah.
Because that's not inherently crazy. He just can't interact with Locke. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which is interesting. What's interesting is Albert understands the skipping.
Yeah.
He knows when things are going to skip.
He was there.
He said, the next time you see me, I won't know who you are.
But that's because he remembers it, because it already happened for him. But so it could be that Locke tells him.
Yeah, but he said, the next time you see me.
Right.
So he knows where the next skip is going to go.
Because it already happened.
Because if he didn't know, he said, all right, John, it's going to skip pretty soon. I'll find you later. He said specifically, the next time you see me.
I think what's helping me understand this is this book that Jeff made me read called The Time Traveler's Wife.
Uh-huh.
A very, very sad book. And this dude, he inadvertently gets thrown around in time
uh-huh.
a lot. So the first time he meets her, she's a little girl.
Okay.
And it's when he's like 20.
The
next time he meets her in her life sign, let's say like in her timeline, it's like 2 years later for her, but he's 16.
Uh-huh.
And then it's 6 months later for her and he's 37.
Yeah.
So by the time she's met him all the times she can, she gives him a list of all the times he's going to meet her when he's 7. So he knows coming up all the times he's going to meet her throughout her life.
Why would
it's a lot to wrap your head around.
As an author or a writer, why would you even start?
Well, yeah.
Why even say, here's an interesting idea? No.
No, shut up.
Save yourself. You're going to hurt your brains.
You're going to hurt our brains.
Oh, man.
So, it was good to see Michelle Rodriguez. I think she did a good job. I was surprised.
Yeah.
I wasn't surprised she did a good job. I was surprised to see her.
Yeah. I'm excited to see Boone again.
Yeah, that's
He's got to
happen.
Come back. The cat's eating your bread.
Do you think Charlie's going to come back?
I think everybody's going to come back.
Good.
I think it's the last two seasons. Why not?
It'll be the big reunion season.
Yeah, Michael's not dead either. Fuck it.
Fuck it.
No one's dead.
No one's dead. Everyone's alive.
So.
Or they're all dead. Maybe that's why they've been so pissed off that everyone's been saying that they all died.
Oh, that's a good
they're
one.
Like, no,
everyone's
alive. No one dies.
And at the end, you find out they've been dead the whole time.
They've been dead the whole time.
I hope Jack.
You're lying.
Jack wakes up on 8:15. What a crazy dream.
He wakes up next to that lady from Newhart.
And Patrick Duffy.
He wakes up next to Patrick Duffy.
All right. I'm tapped out.
I'm tapped out. That's good. We had a good run. What's next week on Lost?
Didn't look.
I didn't look.
Because it said, check out what's happening this season.
It showed you the whole
season.
And
I'm like, whoa.
Well, settle down, ABC.
All right, buddy.
I don't need to see all that.
Are
we going to throw it to Jimmy and then come
back?
Yeah,
we're
going
to throw
goodbye?
It to Jimmy.
Okay.
All right. So for those of you uninitiated, we're going to throw it to Jimmy in Seattle, who's going to take you through Michael Giacchino's brilliant Lost score.
Welcome back, Jimmy.
Hey, Jimmy.
It was Ethan who shot me.
Well, what comes around goes around.
Hello, everybody. It's Jimmy in Seattle. Once again, with the Darmalas Lost score for 2009. In the background, you can hear one of the more popular sequences from last night's premiere. It's very popular for several reasons. But one thing I noticed about it is there is actually three elements of musical themes. Themes which have peppered previous seasons of Lost, and they're briefly brought together. Just take a listen. I'll point them out as we go.
All done.
Here's the first one from Season 3, Dharmaside.
I don't understand. How did you know that I was here? How did you know where to find me?
I wish I had time to explain it, John, but you're going to be moving on soon.
Just two chords.
Moving on.
Sorry. First thing, okay? You're going to need to clean out the wound every couple of hours. Keep as much weight off the leg as you can, all right? The island will do the rest, John.
All right. But
here comes a variation of Locke's theme.
Next time we see each other, I'm not going to recognize you, all right? You give me this. All right.
What is it?
It's a compass.
What does it do?
It points north, John. And look, I wish I had time to be more sensitive about this because it's a lot to swallow, but you need to know it in order to do what you got to do, so I'm just going to say it, okay? The only way to save the island, John, is to get your people back here. The ones who left.
Jack, Kate, was the chopper.
And here's a third theme that appeared prominently in Season 4.
So you have to convince them to come back.
How am I supposed to do that?
You're going to have to die, John.
Well, as always, it's nice to be back. And I'm finding it hard to believe that we're at Season 5. Can you believe it? Now, for anybody who's new, I'll give you a very brief overview of the musical score segment. For the last 3 seasons, we have regularly dissected all the musical themes, compared them to previous themes, compared them to new composers, talked about musical techniques, talked about similar themes in other films, media, television. It's a lot of fun. Jump back and look at some of our old episodes. It's not all about Lost. We do jump about a bit. You can also go to the Ripple's Dip podcast if you want to grab just the music segment. There's plenty of stuff back there, particularly Season 3 and 4. It's been a lot of fun. It's important to mention, too, of course, that the music of Lost is composed by Oscar-winning composer Michael Giacchino. It's available on iTunes. One simple click, and you help replenish his 401k. I really suggest you do it. I have to say, there's been so much to digest over these last 2 hours that we just saw, that I am going to have to once again do the midweek show. So in a few days, there'll be a far more thorough look at the last 2 episodes we've seen. So stay tuned to the Dharma Lars, or, as mentioned, the Ripple's Dip podcast. In the interim, Ralph, Ben, and producer Ryan are no doubt going to keep you entertained. You'll be hearing from me off and on. I'm looking forward to it. Till then, whatever you're doing, be good, be safe, and of course, namaste.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Awesome as usual.
I'm sure it is. Yeah.
It'll be here in about...
half an hour.
In about an hour and a half.
Hour and a half.
So.
Cool.
This whole time travel thing's awesome. If people get in the right space, we can talk about like how Jimmy hasn't posted his stuff to us yet, but we act like he already did.
Yes.
So stick that in your crack and smoke it.
Traveler.
So anyway, that's it for the show.
That's the show.
For this week. We'll see you guys next week. Let's go through some info. Dharmalars.net. Check it out. We have a new Dharmaline phone number, which I don't know what it is. It's 206-203-0952. Okay.
206-203-0952.
Call anytime. Leave your theory. Our old line disappeared.
It went inactive for too long.
It goes inactive. I guess that's kind of our fault for not putting out content, but
meh.
It was 30 days, guys.
I had a good summer.
So make sure you call at least once every 30 days.
I'll put that on you.
Yeah, this time it's on you.
The callers.
Also, check out shopsamine.com. There's Dharmalars shirts readily available.
And you can be our friend on myspace.com/Dharmalars, and you can see all of this information and more at dharmalars.net.
That's correct. So that's it. I'm going to go ahead and say we're going to throw it out to the Dharmaline, which is the segment that you all participate in when you call that line. And then after that segment, we're going to ask you if you want to stick around or skip to that chapter. There's a special surprise at the end. Check it out, guys.
All right, guys. So from everyone here at the Dharmalars Mansion, I'm Ben, Lost a la Vista.
I'm Ralph, and I don't have a line to go out on.
Yay, we're back.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Hey, Dharmalars, what's up? This is Tommy J from Ohio. I'm almost fucking as stoked to have you guys back as I am to have Lost back. Can't wait for another great season.
Hey, Dharmalars, it's Lirio. I only have 3/4 of a voice, so I hope this isn't horrible audio for your show. I just finished watching the 2-hour premiere of Lost. Great episodes. I must say I preferred the first hour over the second. Thought the ending scene of the second episode wasn't as big a reveal as I was hoping. But I must say, I think that Sawyer, Locke, and Juliet have got themselves a young Mr. Charles Widmore that they've captured there. I think that's what's going on there. Apart from that, can't wait to hear your next show. And I don't have any funny anecdotes.
I know what. Hopefully, this is what I'm thinking. if Sawyer has any fucking doubts about anything, set that bitch on fire. Burn it. That's it. That's what he is. That's all he got to do is burn it. Come on.
Hi, this is Jake Winnelly. Ralph may know me. Anyway, I had thought at first the woman at the end of the episode would be Daniel Faraday's mother, and I still stand by that theory. And I thought the episodes were pretty good, but it's been better. That's all.
Hey, Dharmalars. This is Adam from Ohio. And all I remember is that Hurley threw a hot pocket, Froger got fucked up, and Faraday got bitch-slapped by Sawyer. Thanks, Dharmalars. Dharmalars.
Hey, what's up, Ralph and Ben? This is Dre calling out of L.A. Atlanta, I guess. Now, I'm less than 10 minutes away from Lost, and I got a couple of theories. I've been staying away from everything. I don't want to know shit, all right? So, I don't know what the hell's going on. I didn't even want to set the DirecTV to record, but I must. So, I don't know. What's the show going to be about? I don't know. Hopefully, it'll be about Locke or Curly. Or, I don't know, Ben. And okay, theories. What is my theory for the season? What's going on? I don't know. I think, I don't know. And, I mean, I'm glad, you guys are back. This is Ryan, everybody. So, hopefully, you know what I'm saying, everything go fucking smooth in the show. Well, I know the show's still going to be fucking good. But what is it, 3 hours? It's 3 fucking hours. I don't even know what to do. I had to take a fucking 15-minute nap or some shit before the show comes on, just in case. All right? I'm going to buffer it a little bit, you know what I'm saying, so I could get no commercial. You know what I'm saying? No commercials. You know what I'm saying? So hopefully it all works out. Everything goes smooth. Okay? Everything goes smooth. No interruptions. That's all I got, I guess. Did I say a theory? I think I did. Did I say something and I ain't got anecdotes for shit? So, I don't know. It's been a great week. You know what I'm saying? There you go. This is Dre from L.A. And, I am a cop.
When you have perfected a sharp, clear sound, join us on the next track.
Hello, fellow Nerd Herders.
Hey, guys. This is Ralph.
And this is Ben.
And this is the first episode of Green Shirts.
The Green Shirts podcast.
Yep, it sure is.
I'm not wearing a green shirt today, but you can pretend I am.
Mine's kind of green.
Yours is like a khaki, right?
Kind of.
Like a drab olive green.
Khaki's green.
Yeah, that's greenish.
So this is our pilot episode of the Green Shirts versus the television show Chuck.
Versus the television show Chuck.
We don't have much for you today because Chuck is on hiatus.
So this is going to be more of an overview of the show, Chuck, which Ralph pestered me and finally made me watch by loaning me his Blu-ray of season one.
Every week I would watch Chuck and I would send Ben at least one or two different nerd references or things that would appeal to Ben that would make him watch. And it wasn't until I said, hey, Reginald Vell Johnson's on this episode, and he's playing Sergeant Al Powell.
I think that tipped me over the edge.
You're like, all right.
But to be honest, like, the show tried its damnedest to get me to watch it.
I know.
And every time Ralph would say something, I'm like, yep, that sounds awesome. I would totally watch that show.
So,
but, I mean, by that time, I was too far behind season one.
So you watched all of season one and...
And all of season two.
All of...
Up till now.
Up till now of season two in about a week and a half?
It's something like that, yeah. Because you brought cool. you brought the Blu-ray over, and we watched the first couple of episodes, and I just knocked the rest out, and then I watched all of this season on the internet.
Yeah.
Thanks to the internet. I watched it all on, like, NBC.com.
So, Chuck isn't exactly a show that you can look too deep into.
No, but it's damned entertaining.
Yeah, and we enjoy it, and we figured there's no other Chuck podcast on the internet, so why not be the first? Yeah.
We could talk about, like point out nerd references that we caught, because I'm sure there's dozens that I don't catch.
Yeah.
Because I'm not an Omni nerd.
Yeah, that's definitely my main thing is let's point out some nerd references.
Let's point out the nerd
references. Talk about the story lines and see if any of them maybe cross over into maybe other realities, like
such
the
as,
Die Hard, like
such
the
as
Die
Hard
world,
yeah.
Which means John McClane is now fully available to be on an episode of Chuck as John McClane,
which would be outstanding.
But
or
it
William
also means
Atherton. That they can't reference Die Hard.
That's true.
I mean.
Yeah, I mean,
you take the good with the bad.
If they do, who cares?
You know who they should have on is fucking the redheaded asshole dude,
William Atherton.
Yeah, they should have Atherton on as his character from the
Die Hard
series.
You're a Die Hard fan.
I know
his name's Dick Richard. His name's Richard
Alpert.
No. So anyway,
Peck. Walter Peck.
Ben, since you're fresh to Chuck, you said you had some
notes. I have a couple
things
that I wanted to bring
all right, up. All right.
First, I wanted to point out that Gary Cole was another awesome thing that they did by having Gary Cole on the show.
Yes.
And he played a character named Jack Burton.
That is correct.
Which is a total Big Trouble Little China reference.
I think you were already on board with breaking down and watching it by the time I got to the Gary Cole episode.
Yeah.
But I remember when we were watching those couple episodes, I mentioned Gary Cole calling Casey Cop Face.
Yeah.
And you said... What? Gary Cole was on an episode? I'm like,
I already
sold you. I was like...
Like I needed even more. Richard Thornburg. Thank
Richard
you,
Thornburg.
William Atherton's role in the Die Hard series.
Thank you.
Yeah, Cop Face. By the way, Cop Face is a very good designation for John Casey, a.k.a. Adam Baldwin. I saw Adam Baldwin in The Patriot yesterday.
Oh, yeah?
Did you know he's in that film?
No.
He burns a church that a bunch... Oh, you've never seen it.
We should do the Ralph's Never Seen a Mel Gibson Movie with the Exception of Signs podcast.
That would be outstanding. I could sit here and say, wait, have you seen Lethal Weapon?
No.
Lethal Weapon 2?
No.
And then hours later, okay, that was our podcast.
I have the Chicken Run count.
Chicken Run, you've never seen a movie with, you've never seen
Mel Gibson
in a film except for Signs.
Yes.
But you've seen two Mel Gibson films.
So... what else you got? What other...
I was going to say I'm interested to see, because obviously they've set this up. It's going to be a storyline. I'm very interested to see who they cast as Chuck's dad.
Yes.
You know they have a lot of fun with the casting.
This is who I hope it is.
Oh, this is awesome. That's what I was hoping for.
Barry Williams.
Wow.
Because
it kind of looks like
him. Because it kind of looks like Greg Brady. It's mostly the hair.
He kind of looks like Jim to me. He looks like John Krasinski.
Yeah. He's more classically handsome, though.
He is, because after watching two seasons of Chuck in, 3 days, I watched The Office, and I was like, damn, Jim, what's with that nose?
I didn't realize
you had a big nose until I've been looking at Chuck for too long.
It's the loose tie.
It's the loose tie and the
hair.
Tousled hair.
Yeah.
And, you know, I feel like he could keep me safe.
Who's your favorite character in Chuck?
My favorite character on Chuck is probably Chuck himself.
See, for me, I love them all.
Oh, you win.
It sucks because, I'm like, God, I love Morgan. Morgan's so awesome. But then I'm like, Chuck's awesome, too. Captain Awesome is stupendous.
Captain Awesome is awesome. Ellie's great.
Ellie's so great.
Sarah's great.
Sarah's great.
Casey.
Baldwin is so awesome.
He's totally awesome. Every time he salutes a picture of Reagan, that's hilarious. And then his Crown Vic. The episode where he was so, so happy to have a Crown Vic. Like, it's the pinnacle of modern engineering.
Yes.
What else?
What other notes you got?
I was speculating on other types of episodes they could do. I mean, we know they're going to do a 3D episode.
Yeah.
That's coming up after the Super Bowl. That's the next new episode. And I'm bummed because I can't find the glasses. Hmm. I went online and there's like...
Well, where can we find glasses specifically for Chuck if we want to find them? And if the listeners want to find them?
Well, I went on NBC.com and there's like a whole Chuck website. And they have a list of the types of stores that have them. It's part of the PepsiCo-branded Sobe Life Water.
Okay.
And there should be a Sobe Life Water display. And the idea is these glasses are good for that episode of Chuck, as well as there's one whole commercial break during the big game.
Uh-huh.
I guess we're safe, right? I can say Super Bowl.
Why?
You know how on radio this time of year, everyone calls it the big game?
Oh.
Because advertisers can't call it what it is unless they like pay the fee.
Really?
Yeah, you haven't noticed that?
Well, we've said Chuck like a bunch of times.
Yeah, we say Lost. Come to Spartan Final and get all you need for the big game.
Huh. I didn't know that.
Yeah, take a listen.
So it's been trademarked. Super Bowl's been trademarked
something
by the
like
NFL.
That. Yeah. Cool. Anyhow, there's one whole commercial break during the Super Bowl that's all 3D commercials, like Monsters vs. Aliens.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what else, maybe Coraline. And then, like,
but
actual,
if you're listening to this, you're going to go out to get them for Chuck. And like you said, Sobe Life Water. CVS?
CVS and some
CVS
regions.
Pharmacies. Fry's Electronics.
Fry's.
Ralph's.
Safeway. Kroger.
Ralph's.
Ralph's.
For those of you who
Vons.
Have Ralph's.
Yeah. But I've been to a Vons and a Ralph's, and I haven't seen them yet.
Okay.
So there's also a phone number that if you can't find them, but I tried calling it, and I think I tried calling after business hours,
uh-huh.
and it was like a recording.
Was it for the glasses specifically?
Yeah, except...
Do you have that phone number?
I would have to go on the internet.
Oh, don't worry about it.
Actually, you know what? I can probably go on like my recent calls.
Yeah, do that.
It was for the glasses specifically, but the recording wasn't like, hey, thanks for calling about the glasses. It was more about... it just said this number. It doesn't work after hours.
Uh-huh.
So it could have been anything.
Okay.
I want to say that it's this one. I can't say for any certain. Look, go online to the ABC website.
NBC.
That's probably the best way. The NBC website.
Because you have yet to watch an episode of Chuck on network television.
I haven't. Yeah. I couldn't even set my DVR for it because it has to be on the upcoming.
you didn't say TiVo.
I didn't. For once, I didn't say TiVo.
On Chuck, they say Call of Duty.
They
have all the products out there.
Yeah, yeah.
We can stay on the
phone. I don't know. I've been trying to not say TiVo.
Like you don't say Band-Aid if you get.
But I do.
If you say Jell-O.
If I were to buy an off-brand gelatin product, or if I were to buy like Curad bandages.
Uh-huh.
Then I might work on that, but I buy Band-Aid. I buy Band-Aid brand. I buy Q-tip brand.
Yeah.
I'm okay with those. And I don't use a copier machine of any type, so I'm okay with saying Xerox. So I don't know what was wrong with me. I thought it's funny that the whole Morgan and Anna storyline just went away for so long. I thought they had... Like,
it comes and goes. I think anytime they have their relationship... They're either it's always them fighting and getting back together.
Yeah.
So I think those long breaks is just they're in a period where they're not together.
Okay. they're off again.
Uh-huh.
I want to see more with Box Lightner and Morgan Fairchild. I'd like to see more with the Awesomes.
Yeah. And I thought that was funny because Box Lightner plays Awesome's dad.
Yeah.
Yet there's a Tron poster in Chuck's room.
Exactly.
So talk about. Referencing a movie.
He must...
Box Lightner's on the poster.
They must just think he looks a lot like that Tron guy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I've been really enjoying that show. I'm looking forward to the other ones. I think the next major storyline is going to have to be Chuck's dad.
Yeah.
Although I liked the brief little taste they gave us of the guy that's not the general. The general's in charge of the NSA. So the guy was in charge of the CIA.
Yeah.
So when he recruits Sarah
in that
one flashback, like right after dad got popped for being a con man.
Yeah.
So I think that they can mine some of that for some more flashbacks.
Yeah.
I like the castle. I like the whole change they did with the second season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chuck's awesome. And we're going to be reporting on Chuck every week. And there's no new episode next week. But what I'm going to do is there's a Chuck comic book that was a 6-issue run.
Oh, yeah.
With, I believe, Wildstorm.
I can borrow that and we can talk about it together.
I haven't finished reading it.
Okay, then you can talk about it.
I'll finish
yourself.
Reading it. I'll drop it off like this weekend.
Okay.
And then we can discuss it next week. And then the following week, get your 3D glasses out for the green shirts versus the third dimension.
So you can find that out there somewhere.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so, yeah.
Yeah, if you guys want to check us out, we'll be at greenshirtspodcast.blogspot.com.
Okay.
All right. See you next time.
Bye, guys.
Green shirt, sign
green
out.
Shirt.
Right.
Oh.
I want a girl with a short skirt and a long, long jacket. She borrows my